Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day. It is great to be with you, and my name is Eric, and it's an honor for me to stand before you as we open up God's Word together. If you're new with us here at First Colony, maybe nobody's told you yet, or you just haven't figured it out for yourself, I'm not a real preacher. Don't pretend to be. I'm just a regular person, just like you. I just have this opportunity to stand in for my good friend Ronnie Norman while he is away on vacation. And if you can hang with us for just a couple more weeks, I promise he'll be back, and he'll be back preaching again. And I'll try to not mess things up while he's gone. But in my life, I play a number of different roles. I'm a husband. I'm a son, I'm a brother, I'm a friend, I'm an employee, and I'm a father. And I've got to tell you that that role as dad is one of my favorite roles that I get to play, because I've got these four great kids that call me dad, and I love them, and I know that they love me, not just because they, you know, make me breakfast in bed, or, you know, buy me nice Father's Day ties, or, you know, a fancy shaving kit, or, you know, nose hair trimmer, you know, all those good things that we get on Father's Day. But I know my kids love me because they express it to me in a lot of different ways. You see, from the time our children were very small, Jenny and I, we very intentionally made our house a house where it's okay to say, "I love you." In fact, we practice that a lot in our house by just showing each other affection and saying those words, because we want our children to very naturally be able to not just receive those words, but we want them to be able to share those words as well. In fact, this morning we've got some of our students up here on stage, and they're working on a little message for our dads today. Hey guys, you might not be finished with it yet, but can we see what you guys have had made for us? Let's put this down and show everybody. Sydney, grab that side there, and we're going to turn it down. Look at that. Look at that. Dad, I love you. Isn't that great? Thanks, guys. Good job. You know, when our children are small, sometimes it's easy to say those words, "I love you." But sometimes as they get a little bit older, sometimes maybe because of relationships or circumstance, sometimes we get out of the habit, or maybe it becomes a little bit more uncomfortable. But you know, each and every one of us, we all have that desire deep within us to be loved and to be accepted. Now, you'll run into some people in this world, and they will tell you, "You know what, I don't care what other people say about me, I don't care what other people think." And maybe on some level that might be true, but I believe deep down at our core, we all want to be loved. We all want to be accepted. That's just the way that God made us. That's the way we're wired. And you know, there is no relationship where that is more important in the relationship between a parent and a child. In fact, the gaining or the missing of that acceptance from parents can really shape the course of relationships throughout our life. And so that's why I would begin by sharing with each of you that are parents this morning. Just to remind you, the words that you speak into your child's life, it shapes them. And so that's our first point this morning. You see, the words we speak, they have the power to shape others. Now, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11 says, "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life." And if you recall from last week, we spent a little time talking about digging deeper into that well of our life. And if our source of life is a relationship with Jesus Christ, what should naturally flow out of that relationship with Jesus into our heart and out our mouth is words of life. Now, we all come in contact with a lot of different folks, you know, throughout our day. And generally, we can put the different people that we come in contact with in a couple of different groups. The first group is this group of folks that you're just naturally drawn to. You like spending time with them. And then there's another group of folks. And this group of folks, well, we tend to try to avoid these folks. And when you think about these two different groups and you begin to evaluate, why is it that I'm drawn to certain people and why is it that I avoid certain people? I think if you evaluate the conversations and the relationships, you'll find something in common. I believe that those people that we're drawn to, the people we like spending time with, if you really think about the conversations and the words that you share with those folks, you'll notice that those people are friendly. They're typically encouraging. They're positive. They want to know about how you're doing, and they sincerely care. And when you walk away from that conversation, you typically feel, you know, better about yourself and better about your relationship. But this group of folks over here that we tend to avoid in life, you'll notice that when you start into a conversation, you know right from the get-go where that conversation is headed. You know they're going to be critical. You know they're going to be judgmental or negative. They're going to whine. They're going to complain. And I mean, when you walk away from that conversation, you just kind of feel worn out. I mean, that's a relationship that you tend to just avoid. But the question that I have for each of us this morning is, what type of person are you? Are you a person that draws other people to them, or are you a person that people tend to avoid? You see, I believe as Christians, we need to be the kind of people that people are drawn to us because we share with them words of life that flow out of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, this morning, I want to talk a little bit about the power of the words that we use, and specifically, the power of what we call the blessing. A blessing specifically from a father to a son. And so if you would open up your Bibles, Genesis chapter 27 is where we're going to be at today. Now, I'll tell you, this is a great, great story. We don't have time to get through all the text today, so I'm hoping and praying that you'll go back and reread this story, maybe with a fresh perspective, maybe with a new set of lenses on at your stage of life here. But last week we started in this story of Isaac. And if you'll recall, Isaac was the son of Abraham. And early on, God had made a covenant with Abraham. And because he was faithful, because he was obedient, God blessed Abraham. And he made a covenant that said, because of your faithfulness, because of your obedience, I am going to bless you and your descendants, and you will become a great nation. Now, we know that God followed through on that covenant, and through Abraham's descendants, you know, they have become a great nation. And last week, we focused in our story on Isaac. And Isaac followed in his father's footsteps, and he also trusted in God. He was also faithful to God, and God blessed him. But this week, I want to kind of expand our story and talk a little bit more, not just about Isaac, but also about his wife, Rebekah, and their twin boys, Esau and Jacob. Now, let me kind of set this story up. Of all the different characters, because you've got Esau here. He's the firstborn son. He's red-haired, fiery. He's an outdoorsman that loves to go hunting, and he is in line to really take over for Isaac. He is the firstborn son, and so as Isaac passes on, it was a natural thing for him to become head of the family, kind of the patriarch. But we also learn earlier, Genesis chapter 25, that Isaac wasn't real bright. I mean, Genesis 25 tells us this story about one time when he's out on a hunting trip, and when he comes back, he is starving. I mean, he's famished. And there's his younger brother, Jacob, and he's cooking up this delicious pot of stew. And Esau is so hungry and so impatient that he buys a pot of stew from his brother Jacob for his birthright. His birthright was his inheritance, but here's the important thing about that. As the firstborn son, he would receive a double portion of that inheritance from his father. But he very quickly sold it away for a bowl of stew. Obviously not too bright. And then there's Jacob. Jacob is the younger brother, always hanging on to his older brother, but Jacob is different. not an outdoorsman. Instead, he's kind of a homeboy, homebody, really. Homebody that likes to stay close to home, and he's his mother's favorite. He's a thinker, and in fact, he's even kind of described as a deceiver by the things that he does in his life. But at this point in Genesis chapter 27, Isaac is getting old. In fact, he's bedridden, and he's become blind, and it's about time for him to die and pass on his heritage and his leadership from Isaac down to Esau. And it's about at this point in the story where Esau goes off to go hunting as his father has asked him to come in and prepare a meal for him so that Isaac can bless him, when Rebekah steps into the situation and she begins to manipulate what's about to happen in the story. You see, earlier, Genesis chapter 25, we see that God comes to Rebekah and he tells her from the very beginning, you know what, your two sons, those boys, Jacob and Esau, they will always have a rivalry. They will always be after one another. And God told Rebekah, it will be Jacob who ends up becoming the leader of their family. It will be Jacob who ends up ruling over his older brother Esau, which you've got to understand, for that culture, that was not the way it was supposed to happen. And so they've got a real mess on their hands. And you know, this kind of reminds me, you know, when we're working with families, sometimes it can get a little bit messy because none of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. But you know, if you've lived life as long as Isaac and Rebekah, you know that life doesn't always go, you know, just according to our plans. Sometimes there are some things that happen that change the course of our family. Maybe a teen pregnancy. Maybe a divorce. Maybe a betrayal. And it's when we're in these situations, where our family is in crisis, where there's trouble in our family, sometimes we feel like we're the only ones that ever have problems. Well, the truth be told, as you look around this room, we are a body of Christians that make a lot of mistakes. As you look around this room at different individual families, we all come with our own problems. We all come with our own trouble. We all come with our own mistakes. And as we read this story, although the names and the faces are different, some of the challenges are the same. And you know, even through our mistakes, even through our messes, God can do an amazing work in our families. And that's what he ends up doing here in this family. As we continue reading, we have to ask that question. What is the blessing? What is this blessing that's talked about here in Genesis 27? You'll see up here on the screen, a blessing gives a sense of value to a son or a daughter, and even gave a picture of a special future for them. Now, understand, the blessing that is talked about in this story in Genesis 27 was a big deal. And for Esau, this was a huge confirmation from his father that he was going to become the leader of the family. And so what happens in the story, Esau is out, he's hunting the wild game, and Rebekah, his mother, steps into the situation. And she gets his younger brother, Jacob, and she says, here's what needs to happen. You need to go and find some of your brother's clothes. You need to put them on. You need to dress up just like your big brother Esau. And I'm going to prepare a meal just like your father likes it. And then she says, I want you to go before your father and present yourself as your older brother so that you will receive your father's blessing. Now at first, Jacob doesn't want to do it. But his mother convinces him, this is the right thing to do, and so he goes. Now, a lot of people wonder, well, how in the world could Isaac make a mistake like this? You have to remember in the story, Isaac is old. He's blind and he's near death. But even though he's near the end of his days, he knows his sons. And so when Jacob enters into the room and prepares this meal and sets it before him, Isaac's not too sure. And so he begins to ask some questions to make sure he's got the right son. And he asked not just one question, not just two questions, but four times he asked to make sure that that is really Esau, the firstborn son. And when he's finally convinced, that this is Esau and he's blessing the right son, he blesses him, which sets into motion a new course of life for both Jacob and Esau. And this is a blessing because of their culture, because of this tradition. It cannot be taken back. And so Isaac blesses Jacob. Look at what happens. Genesis chapter 27, starting in verse 30, it says, "After Isaac finished blessing him, and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said to him, 'My father, please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing.' His father Isaac asked him, 'Who are you?' 'I'm your son,' he answered, 'your firstborn, Esau.' Isaac trembled violently and said, 'Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed.' When Isaac heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said, 'Bless me, me too, my father.' But Isaac said, 'Your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing.'" You can almost hear it in his voice, the sadness, the bitterness. Because for Esau, this verbal blessing from his father meant so much. He had already given away his inheritance, but it was this blessing that was going to set the course for his life, because those words of love, acceptance, those words of picturing something special for his life meant so much. Now, please understand, the elements of the blessing here in this Old Testament are very specific for this day and this time and this culture. But I believe that there are some characteristics of a parent-child relationship that we can take from that. I've already shared with you. I believe that the words that we as parents speak into our children's lives, I believe they shape who we are and who we are in our relationships. And that's why over the years I've come in contact with a number of men and women that, although they seem to live, you know, happy and successful lives, oftentimes they're lost. They are missing that blessing or that approval or that acceptance from their parents for one reason or another. And they seem to struggle in their relationships. They seem to struggle in their purpose for life. I remember a number of years ago, I was leading a small group at ACU's leadership camps called Kadesh. And for a number of years, we've had a lot of families, a lot of our students that have gone to Camp Kadesh, and it's a powerful, powerful experience. But this was the first time I had ever led a small group there. And I had a kind of a young group. It was a freshman group. And at that camp, we just had a great time together. We did a lot of service projects together. We did a lot of Bible studies. We played a lot of games. And we really got connected to this small group of students. But there was one guy in my group, and all week long he seemed to be, you know, a little bit disconnected. He didn't share a whole lot, he didn't say a whole lot, he didn't always participate, and I wasn't quite sure if he was really getting the message of the week. Well, one of the things that I've always done in my small groups at the end of the weeks is on the last day, we do a time of blessing. We take a stack of post-it notes and we write the things that we have seen in each other throughout the week. And we write those things down. And then we have a time of sharing and a time of blessings where we bless one another. And we say verbally, this is what I see in you. This is how I see God is using you. These are the great characteristics that are really going to take you somewhere in life. And then we give those kids those little notes of the things that we've written. Well, it was a number of years after that camp, I think about 5 years after that camp, and I was back on ACU's campus, this time not at camp, just there in the campus center for another event. And I was walking through the campus center, and this young man walked up to me, and he said, hey Eric, do you remember me? And I looked at him and, you know, trying to real quickly go through my mind, where do I know this kid from? You know, is it from leadership camps or Camp Bandina or for youth group? Or I couldn't place him. He said, my name is Robert, and I was in your Kadesh group when I was a freshman in high school. He said, I was going through a kind of a difficult time that year. My parents had just gone through a divorce. He said, I was really unsure about who I was, and I was really having a hard time figuring out how I was going to go beyond that point. And as he was talking there to me, he pulls out his wallet. And out of his wallet, he pulls this stack of post-it notes. I knew exactly what it was. It was those same post-it notes that were those blessings that we had spoken into his life. And he said, you know, whenever I get to feeling down about who I am or where I'm headed, I go back and I read some of these notes and they lift me up. You see, when we're talking about the blessing, certainly that blessing from a father to his son, or a father to his daughter, or the same with a mother. That is so important. But you know, as believers, we are the family of God. And so you ask that question, well, who can give a blessing? The answer, anyone. Anyone can give a blessing that speaks words of life into another person's life. And you know what? I'm so thankful to be a part of this church family where you have taken this concept of the blessing and you have made it part of who we are as a church. Because as long as I can remember being here, we've been celebrating our senior blessings. When our graduating senior class gets to that point of graduation, we have this ceremony where parents bless their children before they go off to college. Well, years ago, that began to spread to other areas of our church, and we started doing New Life Celebration, where at the beginning of life, that this church committed to blessing our children. And over the years, that has spread out into other areas. As kids get baptized, there's oftentimes family gatherings where those children are given blessings. Or oftentimes when kids turn 13 or maybe 16 and they're launching out into a new point, families will gather with maybe their small groups or their close friends, and people will shower them with these words of blessing, and it continues on. When they get engaged, you know, when we have couples showers and things like that, people share blessings of life. And then when those kids, they start having their own kids, the cycle starts all over again. I love the fact that this church family has incorporated this concept into the blessing, into everything we do. So what I would remind you about this morning is each one of us, we have the opportunity to speak words of life into other people's lives that shape who they are and who they will become. I would encourage us here as we're celebrating Father's Day, just reminding all of our dads, reminding all of our moms, just about the importance of the words that we speak to our children, because they set the course for their life. Well, this morning, as we're here together and as we kind of close out our time, I want to ask you to take your communication card out. You'll find that in your order of worship or on the pew rack in front of you. And as you're filling that out, I don't want you to just write your name and think. I want to ask you to flip that over onto the back side. You'll notice there's a place to tell us about some prayer requests you have. Maybe this week, maybe you're feeling a little bit lost, maybe a little bit lonely. I know oftentimes when it comes to Father's Day and we think about those that we have lost or those who are no longer with us, there's just this sense of missing something in our lives. We want to be praying for you right now. Or maybe you're feeling like you've never really received one of those messages of love and acceptance. If that is true in your case, we want to know about that as well, because we want to be a church family that blesses you in all areas of your life. Or maybe this morning you want to learn more about this source of life that we've been talking about by having a relationship with Jesus Christ, which is like no other. I want to encourage you, if you'd like to study with somebody, if you'd like to maybe give your heart, your life to Christ in baptism, we want to be there and walk you through each one of those stages. You just need to know you're not alone. This family is here for you, whatever we can do. Well, in just a moment, I'm going to pray and we're going to sing our last song. You can pass those cards to either one of the ends of the aisle. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father God, we are just so grateful that you are our Heavenly Father. And Father, we know that here on this earth, there's not any of us that are perfect. There's not any mom, there's not any dad that's perfect. But Father, we know you are the one that gives us life. And Father, for the mistakes that we've made, we are sorry. For the missed opportunities that we've had to maybe speak to those who we love, words of life. Father, help us. Give us the courage maybe to pick up the phone today or maybe send a letter. Father, in some way, Father, we pray that you would help us to have that courage to really say the words that mean so much to us. Father, we're thankful that you have said those words to us. I love you through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're grateful for that relationship that you offer to us each and every day. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.